This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. I am your host, Dom Salvia. That's Jess P.S. on the board, jazzed as hell. Co-host today, Earl Ingram Jr. Find his fine program right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Earl, thanks for joining me. I want to thank Civic Media sports reporter Mike Clemens for coming around, talking a little bit about Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker passing away. That wasn't mine. I thought he was coming to next hour and this hour. That's my fault, Mike. But thank you for coming around and making yourself available. A lot of love for Uke in this state. Earl, as mentioned in the last hour, I want to get to President Biden's farewell speech. But there have been confirmation hearings going on today as well. I want to get that also. But as I mentioned about the Medicaid, Earl, this is something that kind of rolls into some of the questions we'll hear during these confirmation hearings. And my source was WPR. Nearly one-third of rural kids use Medicaid in Wisconsin. Nearly one-third. Now, here's the report. A report from a Georgetown University Center for Children and Families uses data from the U.S. Census Bureau to estimate the percentage of rural and small-town residents enrolled in Medicaid and the percentage in metropolitan areas. The research found that nationally, a higher percentage of children and non-elderly adults in rural areas are enrolled in Medicare compared to urban areas. Wisconsin, here's what we found. Data shows that two groups have similar percentages of children in the joint federal and state health insurance program. 32% of kids in rural areas and 33% of kids in metro areas. Both rural and metro areas of the state have just under 15% of adults under the age of 65 enrolled in Medicaid, and more than 14% of seniors in Wisconsin's metro areas have Medicaid compared to just under 12 in rural areas. Specifically the children on this one, Earl, and we know that the Republicans coming in, they're trying to, you know, justify, make room in the budget for their continued tax cuts. 32% of kids in rural areas, 33% of kids in metro areas. Now, I think what jumps out at me, Earl, is the stereotype that I get when I hear Republicans talking about Medicaid and these kids on these programs. It seems like they're, it's the cities. It's always the cities, Earl. It's always the cities. But if they do this, and a lot of rural areas have voted and supported Republicans over the years and continue to do so, these are their constituents' children. I mean, if they're going to cut Medicaid, they're going to harm their own constituents. 32% of kids in rural areas in Wisconsin are on Medicaid, dude.
You know, Dominic, ignorance, not knowing. That's what the definition of ignorance is. It's not dumb. It's not stupid. It's the fact that you don't know. And so they don't know. And here's just a common sense thing, man. I was never good at ciphering, as Jethro Clampett would say. But if Black people only make up 5% of the population in the state, and we're talking about those who use Medicaid, just the numbers will tell you who's using. Yeah. You know, who's more on med? It's the same thing with food stamps. This belief that the people in the central city are the ones using all the food stamps. Well, if you only make up 5% of the population, none of those things can be true. But even with that having been said, my response is this. Part of what's wrong with a lot of things wrong with our nation, but healthcare in many of the other developed nations is free. And in Canada, healthcare is free. It should be a human right. Why are we arguing about children who, through no fault of their own, man, what nation wouldn't want its children insured, Dominic?
Right.
Come on, man. Democrat, Republican, whoever you are, in a nation, Dominic, I say that, you know, it's founded under Judeo-Christian ethics.
I don't get me that. That's what they say, Earl. It's not necessarily true, but they sure say it. But if you were to believe that, Republicans, is this the proper way to do it, to cut support for the children and for those that are living in poverty? Federal poverty level for a family of four is like $31,000, man. It's $15 an hour on a $2,000 work year. That's not. And how do you support, you know, family of four on that? It's really striking. And to know that we have not raised the minimum wage here in the state of Wisconsin for years, and I think we have some cuts
for
right?
decades, Dominic. For decades.
Oh my God!
Check it out, man. They haven't raised it in decades.
We have some sound, and this kind of rolls into this. Scott Bessent, he is the nominee for Treasury Secretary from Donald Trump, I believe a billionaire in his own right. Bernie Sanders asking some questions about federal minimum wage. We got a cut from that. Let's hear it, if you would, please, Jess.
Right now in America, we have over 22 million workers who are making less than $15 an hour, and nearly 40 million people in our country earning less than $17 an hour. Shamefully, the federal minimum wage, despite the efforts of myself and other people here, have not been raised since 2009 and remains an unbelievable $7.25 an hour. Will you work with those of us who want to raise the federal minimum wage to a living wage to take millions of Americans out of poverty?
Senator, I believe that the minimum wage is more of a statewide and regional issue.
So you don't think we should change the federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour?
No, sir.
Okay.
Scott Bessent, Treasury nominee. You know, nice follow-up question would have been, sir, do you think we should even have a minimum wage? Right? I mean, if you don't think it should be raised from $7.25.
Purpose does it have?
It's just striking to me. Federal poverty level for an individual is like $15,080. $7.25 gets you like federal poverty levels for an individual is $15,060. A $7.25 an hour pay rate, if you're working 40 hours a week, 2,080 hours a year, comes to $15,080, $20 more than the FPL. And now lots of these programs will go to a percentage of FPL, as we've seen here in the state of Wisconsin and with the ACA and so forth. But I guess ultimately here, Earl, what we're hearing is the billionaire is going to be in charge of Treasury from working with the billionaire Trump and the most wealthiest cabinet that's ever been assembled by the billionaires are not down with raising the minimum wage.
You know, Dominic, the tragedy in this is you add in Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, and they're going to be in charge of Doge. And these guys are going to determine what cuts and Elon Musk said before the election that the people needed to get ready to feel a little pain.
Yeah. It's going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt me.
Yeah. Amen. And yet they voted for this. And it is mind numbing, but also heartbreaking that they trusted a guy who's a snake and come on, Dominic.
Earl, we've heard the snake story.
If Donald Trump came to you and made you a promise on something, Come on, man.
No, of course not. Of course not. But Donald Trump has read that snake poem at rallies. It's the creepiest thing. You know, this lady finds a snake freezing. She takes it home, nurtures it to life, and feeds it and whatever, whatever.
I'm
paraphrasing here. And then eventually the snake bites her and poison is going to kill her. And she's like, why do you do that? I care for you. And what the guy says, well, the snake says, because I'm a snake. That's what I do. Like when Donald Trump is literally reading this story, I'm off the teleprompter, man.
Yep.
Multiple times. I was in the room when I'm looking around. Like, is anyone listening to this? This is craziness. This guy is telling everyone he's going to bite you. He's going to kill you. That's what snakes do. He's literally, why would Donald Trump read the snake at a political rally? The only reason he would do such a thing, in my humble opinion, is because he means it. He can't say he didn't tell you that he was a snake. He told it. I heard it. He continues to do it. And ultimately, Earl, as these policies and attitudes, you know, drip down from the billionaire oligarch class, and we'll get to Joe Biden shortly, it's going to be detrimental to Donald Trump supporters, to MAGAs. It's just going to be. And the question is, how long are they going to take it? That's the thing. Will the midterms, are they going to last till then? Let's get some callers in here quickly. Earl, 855-752-4842. Sherry from Horicon, you are up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom. Hey. Hi, honey. I am just totally mad. My daughter waitresses down in Madison. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm crying. And, so they had a work meeting today. Mandatory they go, but they weren't going to get paid the $7.25. They weren't going to get paid diddly squat.
So they had a mandatory meeting in which no one was going to be compensated for their time?
No, because their waitress paid. They wouldn't pay them the hostess pay of $7.25 for them to go to the meeting. Mandatory to go.
Yeah, that's...
Yes,
get the F out of here for sure. Sherry, thank you for state FCC compliant. Yeah, those kinds of issues are maddening. And what, you can't afford to pay the folks up to $7 an hour? I mean, if you're literally making your business by paying poverty wages, you're doing something wrong. Because you're relying on what? The safety net of everyone else to be able to provide the health care and the food and whatnot that you're... lack of pay is making them do. I mean, look at how much people from the Walmarts rely on the safety net. Let's check it out. Folks, come back with us. 855-752-4842. More Bernie Sanders, more of President Joe Biden.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75. Civic Earl Ingram joining me today. He can check his show out Monday through Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network, 8 to 10 a.m. Got Just PS on the board, you folks on the lines, and on the text line, 855-75-CIVIC. Same line, works both on the phones and on the text. But callers, they take priority. So let's get to it. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Yeah, what you just started talking about the safety net and the poverty wages. What are these companies going to do when the Republicans and the oligarchs and the aristocrats now remove the safety net that they have now pledged to remove because they need to have tax cuts to supply them with greater wealth? I mean, that.
Well, do you think they're going to raise the wages, Mark? You know what I mean? I don't know if I buy it.
They're not going to raise the wages. I mean, it is just how much is enough? I mean, these guys just are ignoring the mythology that was around, you know, from the time of the ancients, that at some point in time there's you have enough wealth, and that seeking of more wealth is just is dangerous.
I mean, well, it's like hoarding, man. It's the dragons hoarding the gold, and how much is enough? Well, I'll tell you, too much is never enough. That's it. Hey, thanks for the call, Mark. A couple of the texters out there as well. Tanya from Madison, most children that receive Medicaid also receive free or reduced price lunch and breakfast at school. Cuts to Medicaid could also impact school funding since some of it is tied to meal eligibility of the students. Right. There'll be a continued effect of that. Gary from Madison says, please understand the rich ruling class want the ordinary people as slave labor. Well, I don't know about slave labor, but certainly poverty labor. If folks are, you know, too busy, you know, jumping from one foot to the other, working their ass off for poverty wages, well, they're certainly not going to be looking up at them, calling them to account for their policy and decision making and hoarding of the wealth. Let's see. Steve from Milwaukee, makes me angry that people didn't heed warnings about how dangerous Trump is. And to hear that millions didn't even bother to vote is unconscionable. What the hell were people thinking? And now this lunatic has threatened our sovereign nation along with other nations. This could all have been prevented. Seems that everyone just rolled over. I feel sorry for the world. Damn, Steve. Come on, but we're still out here fighting. We'll do everything we can. Stick around with us, 855-752-4842. Okay, a little bit more from Bernie Sanders era. We had Scott Bessent, the billionaire Treasury nominee from Donald Trump, saying that he doesn't think the $7.25 minimum wage, federal wage, should be raised. Lee Zeldin, this is the EPA nominee, not a billionaire to my understanding, but Bernie Sanders had got him to talk about climate change. You know, Trump said not so long ago that it was a hoax from China. Well, let's hear what his EPA nominee has to say. Cut number one, please.
2024, as you know, was the hottest year in recorded history. The past 10 years have been the hottest 10 years on record. We have seen in recent years unprecedented firefighters in the West Coast and in Canada, and we're seeing the horrific situation in LA right now. We have seen unprecedented flooding in China, displaced millions of people there, unprecedented drought in Brazil, Africa, and elsewhere. And in Southern Africa, people are dying because of the drought and their inability to grow crops. Billions of people have been sweltering in Europe and elsewhere in unprecedented heat waves. In the midst of all of that, President-elect Trump has said that climate change is a hoax. You will be, if confirmed, one of the leading spokespeople in this country, representing us throughout the entire world. Do you agree with President-elect Trump that climate change is a hoax?
Well, first off, Senator, it was great to meet with you as well. I believe that climate change is real, as I told you. As far as President Trump goes, the context that I've heard him speak about it was with a criticism of policies that have been acted because of climate change. And I think that he's concerned about the economic costs of some policies where there's a debate and a difference of opinion between parties.
I would respectfully disagree with you. I think he has called it a hoax time and time and time again.
Oh, you kind of agree, but it was all about the money and the money being spent wrong. And I mean, acknowledging, then backpedaling or rephrasing, Earl, seemingly a problem. You talk about, you know, the time for the, you know, 70 year olds has passed. And now it's, you know, what about the kids that are growing up in this hot world, man? 2024, the hottest on record. Senator Sanders articulated some of the problems going on around the world. And Donald Trump is saying, drill, baby, drill, and ready to give more breaks to petrochemical companies.
Well, I mean, the things are, you know, clearly nonsensical to totally dismiss science. How can you possibly dismiss science? And yet Donald Trump and many MAGA people have dismissed science. It's been proven. Look, this is not going to happen in my lifetime. You know, my generation is, our time is, is running short. Baby boomers' time is running short. This fight and this argument is for grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and to make sure that they have a fair opportunity in life. That's really what this is about. It's not about drill, baby, drill, to make gas and oil cheaper for us today. Man, it's about how do you leave. The one great thing, a lot of great things about the Native Americans, but the one thing that the Native Americans always believed in is leave the place in a better condition than it was when you were there, meaning the land, the earth, this thing called the planet. The Native Americans believe that. If you were there, don't ruin it for the next generation. Make sure it's better. We would be wise if we took that same tack.
A nice thought. Or you could pillage the land, take what you can, give nothing back, and yep, put all the money in your pocket, and to hell with everybody else. I mean, there's a couple different philosophies. I know which one I prefer. Folks, come back with us. I prefer, if you join us, we're going to talk about President Joe Biden. His farewell speech today had lots to say. We're going to cover some of it, specifically the oligarchs and the tech industrial complex. Come back with us.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvi Show, 855-752-4842. Got Just PS on the board. Jazz is hell, my co-host for the day, Earl Ingram Jr. Check his fine program out Monday through Friday right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. 8 to 10 a.m. Thank you, Earl. One of the texters, Larry from Deerfield, to Earl's excellent reference to our First Nation. The quote, "We do not inherit the earth from our ancestors. We borrow it from our children." That's a hell of a way to put it, and certainly I don't know if we're doing our children any good, certainly not with this administration, not with the comments being made by Donald Trump and the trying to split the hairs from his EPA nominee, Lee Zeldin. We talked about, we're going to get to the president's speech from last night, his farewell speech, but Merrick Garland, the AG, he spoke today, and I've been critical, Earl, I think Merrick did us bad. Now, some folks may disagree, but let's hear what he had to say on the way out the door. Garland, let's play cup one.
We know that only an independent Justice Department can protect the safety and civil rights of everyone in our country. And we know that only an independent Justice Department can ensure that the facts and the law alone will determine whether a person is investigated or prosecuted. Those norms have been woven into the DNA of generations of DOJ employees, career and non-career alike. They are the commitments that ensure we will adhere not only to the letter of the law, but to the rule of law. It is the obligation of each of us to follow our norms, not only when it is easy, but also when it is hard.
Oh, come on!
Especially when it is hard.
What? It was hard to prosecute a former president, but you sat on your ass for like a year and a half. That was hard. That was hard. Earl, I'm sorry, man. I'm a little fired up at the way that this whole thing was handled with Garland and the DOJ. Any comments on the norms that are about to be blasted, whatever there was left of them, by the incoming Trump administration?
Well, you think about this. Merrick Garland was turned down by the Republicans. He was, what is the guy's name, man? Obama's.
Oh, the nominee for the U.S. Supreme Court. Yeah.
The nominee for Barack Obama. And so we all thought it was a horrible thing that he didn't get that position. As it turns out, maybe he wasn't deserving of it.
Well, maybe he would have been better in that position than in this prosecutorial position. Maybe he'd been a better judge and, you know, equator of the facts than prosecuting a former president. And you know, the Jack Smith report that was finally released, Earl, one of the reasons they did not charge him with the insurrection, with basically treason, I'll call it, but is that the statute didn't allow for it. It never had happened that someone tried to overthrow the government from within the government. You know, they got all these rules about if you're trying to overthrow the government from outside the government, but we've never prosecuted anyone trying to stay in power, so we're not going to do that. I think, are you kidding me? Again, these are crazy times. You got to do something out of the box. Don't talk to me about norms when the last guy just burned it down. One more from the outgoing Merrick Garland. Don't let the door hit you in the ass in a way. I'll cut to, please.
You protected our country's democratic institutions from violence and threats of violence. You charged more than 1,500 people for criminal conduct that occurred during the January 6th attack on
hostages,
the Capitol,
patriots,
as well as in the days and weeks leading up to that attack. You brought to justice those who kicked, punched, beat, and tased
law enforcement
officers who were protecting the Capitol that day. And you pursued accountability for that attack on our democracy wherever it led, guided only by your commitment to following the facts and the law. I am proud of the work you have done. I am equally proud of the way you have done that work. I know that a lot is being asked of you right now. All I ask is that you remember who you are and why you came to work here in the first place. You are public servants and patriots who swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution. You are professionals of the utmost integrity who are worthy of the trust of the American people. Your job is to do what is right, nothing more and nothing less.
Merrick Garland on the way out the door, speaking to the troops. I mean, yes, it was, you know, some very successful prosecutions of the J6ers who attacked the cops. I mean, it was the most videoed attempted overthrow of the government in human history. I mean, they should get some convictions. It was pretty plain to see. Most of these cats were broadcasting it themselves. Hey, look at me. I'm at the Capitol, man. We just burned that place down. Yeah, baby. Come on.
It was convenient that they did that, all of that work.
They did a lot of work for them. And some folks are still getting caught, still out there. So there's Merrick Garland's final farewell. Steve, text in at 26, I'm sorry, from the 262. And you can text it at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Totally agree with you, Dom. Extraordinary actions call for extraordinary consequences. Yeah. And thinking outside the box, I'm not worried about, you know, the norms, I cannot believe that someone would actually talk about the norms. What norms are left, man?
But to also talk about too much of a reliance on norms. I mean, I remember on Tuesday, Maggie talking about how as a lawyer, you're taught to color inside the lines. You're right. Taught to abide by those norms so strongly. But this was a time to bend those norms, because what was happening was not within the realm of norms that were established.
Right. It mandates a non-normal response. Earl, how would you rate Garland's performance as Attorney General of this great country?
Well, so I don't only just look at Garland's performance. I look at the whole thing as a package and what has happened with Donald Trump and many others who have broken the law. Don't come to me talking anymore about democracy. Don't come to me talking anymore about the Bill of Rights, about the Constitution, about all the entities that supposedly make this nation what it is. When you allow one person to be able to supersede all the different things that you say all the rest of us have to deal with, you've broken it, man. And you can never get it back. So I'm sorry. You know, the what's that thing they play before the baseball games? Not the Pledge of Allegiance. What is it? My Country. I don't know. What
the National Anthem?
That's the National Anthem. All right. That stuff, man.
Yeah.
Don't even, you know, it's a hand across the heart. Hey, man, come on, man. That stuff is, you know.
Yeah, you supported the guy that tried to overthrow the government. You're going to yell at me for not taking my hat off or talking during the National Anthem. You know what I'm saying? Really? It's a great point, Earl. You know, and that's the thing. So we're expected to what? To live up to whatever standards that they decide on, but they give their own guys a pass. They'll give themselves a pass, but, oh, heaven forbid, you don't take your hat off. It's a sign of respect. Sign of respect? You guys just voted in an insurrectionist. How about you stop taking off your hat and you stop covering your heart? Stop pretending like you love this country. You just brought a guy in who obviously and evidently, if you look at the Jack Smith report, tried to overthrow this country, man, from the inside.
Come on, man.
I'm with you, Earl. Don't give me that. All right. So we got a few cuts here of the president in his farewell address. We'll start with the highlighted ones. Specifically the warnings of oligarchy. We have lots of cuts, but I want to start out with the ones that matter the most. Let's hear cut number 7, please, Jez.
I want to warn the country of some things that give me great concern. This is a dangerous concentration, and that's a dangerous concentration of power in the hands of a very few ultra-wealthy people. And the dangerous consequences if their abuse of power is left unchecked. Today, an oligarchy is taking shape in America of extreme wealth, power, and influence that literally threatens our entire democracy, our basic rights and freedoms, and a fair shot for everyone to get ahead. We see the consequences all across America, and we've seen it before, more than a century ago. But the American people stood up to the robber barons back then and busted the trusts. They didn't punish the wealthy. Just made the wealthy play by the rules everybody else had to.
Well, isn't that an interesting concept?
Radical.
And it is a punishment if you ask the wealthy, because they don't want to play by the rules that everybody else does. And I would also point this out, this oligarchy, this conversation that we've had. Earl, we've had wealth concentrated in very few people for the entirety of this country, as far as I'm concerned. You go back however far you want to go back. In this country, in civilization, in most countries, that's just how it is. The rich get off and everybody else gets stuck with it. And so this new form, quote-unquote, oligarchy, man, there were billionaires before. There were billionaires, you know, I mean, obviously not to the level, at least of the amount, because of inflation and whatnot. But, I mean, we've had rich folks going back, what? The trust busters. He mentioned it. Man, you know, we're talking about Teddy Roosevelt. Now, we talk about FDR quite a bit in the New Deal and welcoming the hatred of the super wealthy by trying to make a program so people's mothers don't have to eat cat food in the twilight of their life, Earl. I don't understand why this is so difficult. This is not anything new. This is a continual battle. And right now, the normal folks, you and me, everybody living the regular life, quote unquote, we're losing that battle.
You know, Dominic, as I always say to people, I'm one of those people. I'm the average everyday citizen. Well, you're just jealous of the billion. Hey, man, I could understand that coming from a billionaire, but you're a poor guy scraping around just like me, and you're defending something is seriously wrong with a person who struggles themselves. Well, there's a chance that maybe one day I'll be like Elon Musk. Oh, yeah. You know, you mean have your heaven on earth? right? For those who believe there's evidence, you think that you may wind up in that same kind of situation. It just comes to a point where the last time I checked, Dominic, there are no pockets on the caskets.
No, so can't take it with you, Earl.
Even if Elon Musk eventually becomes a trillionaire, as there are people, he's going to be the first trillionaire. I said, oh, so you're excited that one guy can become a trillionaire. Right now, he could feed the entire world. There doesn't have to be anybody, and he'll still have plenty left over.
Right.
He doubled his wealth since the time he started partnering with Trump. He went from $240 trillion to now over $550 trillion. Don't people see that, man?
No, they think it's a raging success. He's a successful businessman, just like Donald Trump is a successful businessman. You know, Earl, I agree with that. I think folks that are like that, like, wow, I don't want to be taxed at 80% when I'm a billionaire. Really? Is it going to matter that much to you? You know, and you know me, man, I'd never get there anyway. I spend all that money anyway. But, you know, and you see, and you mentioned it, man, with that kind of wealth and that kind of power, the influence and the good that one can do. But I don't know that you amass that kind of power and that kind of wealth without having some hoarding kind of issues. And I'll say one other final thing. There is no amount of money in this world that can make somebody cool. Make him cool. Man, if I had that money, I'd give it all away. Maybe keep a little bit. But you will never be cool, Zuckerberg, Bezos, Elon Musk. Dude, tryhards, compensating, those cats aren't cool, man. I would rather be me than them every day of the week. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. It's cool. 855-752-4842. Come back with us. Earl Ingram, just on the board. One final segment. Joe Biden talking about the tech bros.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Last segment, hanging out with Earl Ingram. Check his show out right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Got Jess P.S. on the board. And you folks chiming in on the text line, 855-75-CIVIC. Our pal Mike from Muscadet, thank God Trump's return. Goodbye to the dimwit and diapers. Well,
you know Trump wears diapers too, man.
I was just gonna say, man, and you know when you get to be that age, it's a Constitution thing. Thank you for your contribution, Mike from Muscadet. Uncle Tony chimes in. The top U.S. tax bracket, 37% on all income above $750,000. It's ridiculous. That's where the brackets stop. Well, we talked about that with our pal on Monday. Yeah, we should probably raise those brackets a bit. Mark chimes in, Elon Musk daddy owned emerald mines, a whole different starting point, another platinum baby spoon. Tom from New Berlin, Dom, yes, money can't buy being cool. It's like love. You can't buy it. Yeah, can't buy love. You can rent it, I guess. but you can't buy cool, yo. If money can't buy happiness, I also have to rent it. Yeah, there you go. 855-752-4842. All right, a little bit more from the president, his farewell address. We talked about the warnings of the oligarchy. Again, you can repeat that for the last several hundred years, but let's continue on. The tech bros, the warning of the tech industrial complex. Cut number 9, please.
You know, his farewell address, President Eisenhower spoke of the dangers of the military industrial complex. He warned us then about, and I quote, the potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power, end of quote. Six decades later, I'm equally concerned about the potential rise of a tech industrial complex that could pose real dangers for our country as well. Americans are being buried under an avalanche of misinformation and disinformation, enabling the abuse of power. The free press is crumbling. Editors are disappearing. Social media is giving up on fact-checking. The truth is smothered by lies told for power and for profit. We must hold the social platforms accountable to protect our children, our families, and our very democracy from the abuse of power.
And all those cats that he's referring to, a lot of them, Earl, are going to be on the stage, or at least at the inauguration, after kicking in $1 million apiece to, you know, buy a little access for the old man.
You know, man, Joe Biden, I remember Joe Biden when Joe Biden was, before he had his brain, I think he had an aneurysm or something, when he was about 40 years old. He was a powerful senator, congressman. And so I remember him, and I was a young man, and I always respected Joe Biden because he was pretty cool, man. The way he spoke, he was very intellectual. And it's amazing to me as I see him now. He didn't age himself. I mean, I'm 70, but I remember him as a young, powerful, brilliant, well-spoken senator, congressman and senator, and, you know, hung around too long. It's what you're saying, man. Mm-hmm. He hung around too long, man.
He promised to be a bridge, and then he was more than that, and that's why we're in the situation we are at, too, perhaps to some degree. Time will tell.
Hey, Dominic, yeah. don't let me hang around too long. Give me a kick or something.
Man. Hey, man, as long as you can talk, I'm going to put a mic in front of you, Earl. We're gonna keep doing this as long as we can. A couple of quick cuts. Let me just run them back-to-back. What do you think? These are the we musts. These are the things we got to do. This is what Joe Biden says we must do now that he's gone. But Trump's coming in. But let's hear him. Let's play him off. If you would, please, Jess.
We must reform the tax code.
Yes.
Not by giving the biggest tax cuts to billionaires, but by making them begin to pay their fair share. We need to get dark money. That's that hidden funding behind too many campaigns contributions. We need to get it out of our politics.
Yep. Let's keep going.
We need to enact an 18-year term limit, for the strongest ethics reform and the strongest ethics reforms for our Supreme Court.
Time limit? You got a timeout, man. Come on, Joe. Let's see a couple more. Cut four, please.
We need to ban members of Congress from trading stock while they're in the Congress.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, but what good is that information? Because, you know, once a congressperson, someone in the government hears something at a committee hearing, well, technically that's like public notice, man. And once it becomes public, then you can trade on it. That's totally legal. I think we got one more from Joe on the must. Let's hear it.
We need to amend the Constitution to make clear that no president is immune from crimes that he or she commits while in office. The president's power is not limit. It's not absolute. And it shouldn't be.
I mean, some good advice on the way out the door. I don't know that we're going to have the votes to do any of it, but we appreciate the sentiment, Joe. Earl Ingram, last 60 seconds. Any final thoughts, my friend?
You know, he was in government for 50 years. He knew where all the bones were buried. Come on, man. That's it.
That's it. That's it.
That's it.
Now it's all over. Now we got Trump in, man, for a second time. Earl Ingram, thank you so much for hanging out with me on Thursdays, my friend. I will see you tomorrow. And make sure you check out Earl's show. He's live right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Always a great show. I heard the MLK Jr. speeches this morning, Earl. Really appreciated that, man. That was great stuff. Folks, stick around. Pete Schwabe from Nightlight coming up next. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you, Jess, for all your hard work. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.